Welcome to the Escaping the Accountant's Trap podcast. It's a podcast to help accountants, CPAs, and bookkeepers escape what we call the accountant's trap. It's where accountants are not getting paid for their value and are forced to work long hours with high demanding clients with little pay. Well, how do you escape the trap? And one way is the topic of today's episode, and that's by making the shift from compliance work to advisory services. To help me with the discussion, I've invited Gaynor Milkey, the founder of Charisma Inc. Gaynor, welcome to the show.
No, thank you, Adam. It's a pleasure to be here with that big introduction.
Yeah. I mean, you work a lot with accounting firms on essentially helping them grow. And one of the, you know, a hot topic, especially a topic that's close to our hearts, is on accounting firms shifting from just being compliance or transactional focused to advisory focused. So talk to us a little bit about why that's important and why an accounting firm should consider it.
Okay. Well, I think that there's a lot of firms who are at least have the curiosity of how can I shift into that more advisory role, but they're unsure of how to do it. And you know, as you and I have discussed in the past, it's really about scaling your firm, you know, working less hours, but providing more value to your clients as well, and being able to have a firm that uses your highest level of skills too. Because I think you know, once you get into the accountant's trap and you're doing compliance work, it's easy to get mired down in things that are really below like where your expertise is. And that's something that you definitely want to avoid, especially if you can make more money doing the other.
So that's a lot of stuff I want to dive into and dive into everything you just said. But let me start first with just from a 50,000 foot standpoint, why do accounting firms or bookkeeping firm owners stay in the compliance or transactional world? Why do they do that when there's other services they could offer that is higher value?
I think part of it is the change management, the perceived maybe time it's going to take to kind of reorient the ship, where, you know, I see a lot of firms having success is if they take a stepwise approach, right? You don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. You can kind of add it on. And that, I know that's one of the ways that at the CFO Project, you advise members too, is that there's three different ways that you can actually shift to advisory. And one of them is just, you know, as an add-on to what you're already doing. And, you know, I think that's actually really important for your clients as well, because, you know, clients are looking for more advisory information from their accountants. We've seen statistics on that. And the small business owner is really looking at their CPA as that not only, oh, get me my tax return or do my, you know, month-end accounting. They're looking for, well, what do I do if I have an S-Corp? Or should I have an S-Corp if I'm an LLC? Or, you know, any number of things, having those controls on their financials and being able to grow, you know, comfortably and with peace of mind, knowing that somebody's helping guide them on the financial piece. So yeah, I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we actually just did a survey with all of our members in our program. We're going to release it to the public here in the next week or two. But the number one way that accounting firms and bookkeeping firms actually get advisory clients is through offering tax or bookkeeping and then upselling them.
Right.
Upselling those services because you already have the relationship.
Yeah, that is so true. And I think, you know, the original question was why did I think that firms are not doing it. I think that there's a hesitancy because they think of advisory as maybe like this big undefined service offering, when it's really, as you said, kind of taking what they're already doing to like the next level, and they have all the insights from looking at the numbers, and then it's how do you you know, build that as a, you know, a different service offering, and that just takes a little bit of training. And I would say that's also an area where a lot of firms don't realize that there is specific training that you could do, and that gives you a lot more comfort. You don't have to go in and make your own program. You can actually like be part of a group that has a system that works, and that can be a shortcut for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, you're right. I think a lot of times accounting firm owners, bookkeeping firm owners, they feel that advisory is this. There's no one defined term as to what advisory is. And when something's not defined, it's hard to possibly scale or build systems or processes around mm-hmm. the firm. And you already have a firm that's set up with a ton of processes to do the bookkeeping or do the tax or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And you're billing by the hour and everything's working okay. But at the same time, business owners are craving for you to give them advice. And accountants are leaving the profession at an alarming rate, so it's hard to get good talent. Mm-hmm. And you have a work, not so great work-life balance doing just the compliance, you know, doing the taxes or bookkeeping. So something's got to give, which is why all these people are going towards advisory services. But at the end of the day, how do you even get started? Like mm-hmm. it is this undefined service that you're offering. And I think that's a lot of why a lot of accounting firms, bookkeeping firms don't make the shift.
Yeah. I mean, that's very true. And making the shift, as we know, I talk quite a bit about change management. That's probably the hardest part, is just getting it in your head that you can do it. And I think that's where having a group of other people who are also trying to make the shift. We see a lot of peer groups in the accounting profession that you can help each other and be accountable and perhaps even do some referrals together. But I would say mindset is an issue for accountants. There's a fear factor, like what if I don't get it right? Because I think that's very key for accountants, because on the compliance side, it's very easy to see, did I get it right? Well, that's yes, right. Everything ties out and the books close and it's all great, but advisory is, it's the way that you want to do advisory, not necessarily always just a cookie cutter formula. And I think, those are some reasons why accountants struggle with it. But I would also say, if they look at the revenue potential, there's a lot of motivation right there just to get over some of those hurdles.
Hey there, Adam here from the Escaping the Accountant's Trap podcast. I'd like to personally invite you to a free masterclass that we're conducting this Thursday called How to Start a CFO Service. To register, just go to thecfoproject.com and click free training at the top. See you then. So Gaynor, if somebody is listening, they're an accountant, bookkeeper, practice firm owner, and they want to explore making the shift, but they're really not sure exactly what advisory services is. Mm. How would you explain it?
I would say it's really taking the information that you already know about the client and providing the insights they need to take action that's going to benefit their business. And I think there's also a controls piece as well, because a lot of small businesses don't have a good financial foundation from which they can then grow. So it's a lot of, if you're not already doing their tax and accounting work, then there's probably, some foundational things you need to do. But then being able to sit down and being more of that advisor and giving them a plan for not only right now, but for the future as well, based on what their goals are.
Yeah. And that's, I think advisory or CFO services or whatever you want to call it. We call it basically the CFO/advisory, which is one and the same. At the end of the day, it is a consulting product. You're selling consultations. You're selling consulting services or coaching services. But the difference between what we define as an outsourced CFO/advisor and a business coach, the difference between the two is that we use numbers to drive decisions. Mm-hmm. So I think that this would help a lot of these accountants and bookkeepers that are listening that are thinking, maybe I don't know if I can do this. You already understand the numbers. Half the battle is been fought. You understand the numbers of your small business owner clients. They don't usually mm-hmm. understand the numbers. Yeah. And so they want you to interpret the numbers and then just give them clear explanations to what's going on in their business. That will then lead into a discussion on how to grow the business. Because we all know that businesses live and die on one number, which cash flow, which is a number. And who in the business owner's lives is best equipped with understanding cash flow and understanding how to improve cash flow? It's the accountant or the bookkeeper or the CPA, the numbers person in their lives. And so that not only do business owners want this service, they want you specifically, the numbers person in life, to provide this service. So this just, it just makes a good fit for the accounting firm owner or the bookkeeping firm owner.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm glad you brought up the business coach piece, because I am a certified business coach. You would not want me to do the CFO advisory piece. I mean, that's not what I'm trained in. I'm trained in more on the strategy side and, you know, growth opportunities and leveraging those. But, you know, from the accountant side, they can actually determine if you've got the financial fuel to get you to where you want to go. And, you know, that's, I think, a key difference there. And as you said, I mean, accountants, bookkeepers, CPAs all have that knowledge and they're credible experts.
Yeah, absolutely. The accounting firm owners that you've worked with in the past that have made the shift to advisory services, how has their lives changed and or their business changed and or their employees' lives changed?
Well, I think I've seen most firm owners who are really serious about adopting or expanding with advisory services, they're able to elevate themselves out of doing the work. So it's like a growth strategy where they're being the advisor, and then they bring on some people to continue that compliance work so that A, they have the revenue from that still, but B, they have all the, you know, foundational numbers in an accurate, you know, regular flow that they can use to fuel the advisory. So that's where I see a lot of the firms are, you know, growing that way. But then there's some smaller firms where, you know, you might have a CPA or an accountant who leaves a larger firm and they just want to have kind of a lifestyle business. And they just want to do the CFO advisory piece of it and be a consultant as opposed to running like a whole firm where they're doing the monthly services as well. So I think that's the beauty of the CFO advisory space, is that you can really shape it the way that you want. I know I've also got a firm that, you know, they're larger, they've got about 50 staff and it's just like one piece of their practice. And they actually have some niches built around advisory too. So that's, again, like they're bigger and they're making, you know, great money doing that.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And we have a ton of members in our program that they all seem to fit advisory services into their business a little bit differently, which means that there's a ton of opportunity to have a business that is, you know, whether you want a lifestyle business, you just want a business that makes a significant amount of money while working less than 40 hours a week, or, you know, we have other people in the program, they want to have a large firm and they want to have a ton of employees or partners or associates in their firm, and they want to expand that and scale rapidly by selling high ticket services, advisory services.
Yeah. And as I think you and I were saying this, you know, before we started, it really is low hanging fruit, because, you know, your existing clients actually want that expertise. Yeah. You're perfectly positioned to, you know, offer it. And it's pretty easy to market it if you cross sell to your existing clients too. Like, that can be a really easy place to start, is if you've got people who are transitioning entities, or you're just doing their taxes. I mean, taxes can be a great springboard for, you know, CFO work. It's just a multitude of opportunities, and it's, you know, comes down to really creating a plan for yourself as to how you want to do advisory. And I know, you know, that's something that the CFO project teaches as well. And I think that's really necessary. It takes the fear factor out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's multiple ways to market. And like you mentioned, there's multiple ways to market a CFO service or sell a CFO service and provide a CFO service. And that's one of the things that we do, is we train you in multiple ways and best practices, things that actually work. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, say you had a bunch of tax clients and you would like to start offering advisory services after tax season. I guarantee mm-hmm. you, if you call up any one of those clients and said, "Hey, I was looking over your tax returns and I spotted some red flags or opportunities that I see for growth. Can we get on a call?" Who would say no to that?
Yeah.
Think about it. What business owner has their accountant call and say, "I have spotted some red flags and opportunities I see for you to grow your business"? What business owner would say, "Oh, no, I'm good"? Nobody would. And that's a perfect opportunity to mm-hmm. easily open the door for an advisory conversation yep. without even having to use the word CFO or business advisory or sales call or whatever.
And I would also say to that point, I bet there's a lot of CPAs, accountants, and bookkeepers who are already doing that and not getting paid for it.
Oh, that's a very good point.
Very good point. Don't give away that premium expertise for free. Definitely want to take those opportunities where you are talking in more in the advisory space. And I know there's a couple of sales training programs where it's like, you know, you don't give them the whole, you know, plan for what you would do, but you just, you know, give them the idea of it. And then you can say, you know, "I'll follow up with a proposal." And that can be a great way to get started too.
Yeah, absolutely. And along the same lines of giving away advice for free are the accountants or bookkeepers who are giving advice away for free because they don't feel that the advice is quality advice.
Oh.
And so they don't, they discount it in their mind, but to their business client, it's gold a lot of the times. And I think this goes back to imposter syndrome. They just don't feel qualified to be providing advice, but you know way more than you think you do, especially when it comes to when you compare yourself to the business owner clients. They almost know very little about numbers and financials and strategy. And how to grow a profitable and higher cash flowing business. But you have all the makings of that. You just need a little bit of education and experience, and you know, which is why the CFO Project, you know, why we exist, is to provide those two things. But once you have those two things, you'll be off to the races.
Yeah. So I think people really start to see a lot of benefit from helping one or two clients when they're able to tell their stories about what outcomes you've been able to achieve for them, because everybody wants to be able to see, you know, "Oh, they were able to get results for somebody who's just like me. I bet they're great to work with." And that referral wheel starts turning, and that's super powerful.
Yeah. Stories are so powerful. You're right, because people can visualize them. And once you have a few clients under your belt and you start to tell the stories of how you've helped them, and you start to tell them to other business owners, the vision that you're painting in their mind is being applied to their situation, and right. they want that mm-hmm. the results for their mm-hmm. business. And so it's so powerful.
And I would also say, if you've got a niche, you know, come up with one or two niches to start with, and then it's just the referrals are like wildfire, right? Because you get in with some dentists, they all talk to each other. Totally. And it's like, look at the results that I got. Oh, I want that too for my practice.
Absolutely. Right. Case in point, and here's a quick story. I was on a podcast for heating and air business owners. The guy that owned that ran the podcast owned a heating and air business. Mm-hmm. And he has a podcast for heating and air business owners. And he invited me on. And we talked about how an outsourced CFO can help heating and air business. Within minutes, I kid you not, within minutes after the podcast finished, this host said, "Adam, I need you for my business." He became a client within a week. And then when he started referring me to all of the people mm-hmm. in his network that own heating and air. And pretty soon I had several heating and air clients and this was literally within the matter of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the power of the niche is undeniable. Right. I mean, I'm a case in point, accounting and tax professionals. I mean,
that's true.
It's same thing, but we that's love right. them all. And, you know, you don't have to do that with your advisory, but it's a great place to start if you're hesitant, because you can also create a model that you know works based on the type of business.
Absolutely. Well, Gaynor, thank you so much for coming on the show today. If somebody's listening and they would like to learn more about you, where can they find you online?
You can visit Charisma Inc., which is charisma and then Inc., INK.com, or LinkedIn. I'm on there too. You can connect with me and check out the CFO project for sure.
Thanks.
Referred a few clients over there.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. We'll put your contact info in the show notes as well. Gaynor, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
And to everyone listening or watching, thank you so much for spending the last few minutes with us as we discussed how to escape the accountant's trap. Bye for now.